This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And this afternoon, we're going to take a look at the Bureau of Land Management, the district manager, Heather Whitman, in. I got that right, didn't I?
You did.
And you're over here on this microphone. There we go. And Shane Rossbach, who's been around BLM for a long time. What's your actual title or job?
So I'm an assistant field manager in the Swiftwater Field Office.
And you've been there for how many years?
So I've been in Roseburg since 2010. So 13 years now.
And Heather, how long have you been here?
I've been the district manager since January of 2017. So wow. I've been here for 6 years.
And where were you before that?
I was the Color Country district manager in Utah prior to coming to the Roseburg district.
So how do you get from Utah to Roseburg? How did that happen?
Yeah. It was actually a pretty long route. I actually have close to 35 years of government service. The first of those years was spent with the National Park Service in a variety of locations. And then I came to the BLM about 13 and a half years ago over in Lakeview, Oregon. So that's where I started with the BLM and was there for a few years before going to Utah. And then the job opened up here in Roseburg. And so I applied and came on over to be the district manager.
How familiar were you with the area when you applied?
I wasn't particularly knowledgeable of what was in the Douglas County area. Yes, I had been here before, but as far as living here, I'm not a native Oregonian, so really didn't know a whole lot about the area.
Yes, she just admitted that on the radio.
I know, right? It's like, what in the world was I thinking? I should have said, oh, I've been here for so long, you can consider me an Oregonian, which I do consider myself an Oregonian, even though I'm a native Montanan, sorry.
It's okay. So explain overall, because a lot of people just assume things that aren't always correct. What's the mission of the BLM overall?
Okay, the mission of the BLM overall is to sustain the health, diversity, and productivity of the public lands for multiple use and enjoyment for present and future generations. So what does that really mean, right? I'm assuming that was going to maybe be your next question. The BLM is really focused on those lands that a lot of them are still within the public domain. They're public domain lands. But here in Western Oregon, the lands are ONC railroad lands that have been managed since 1937 by the BLM. And so it's really about ensuring that the management actions that are occurring on the public lands are what the public wants to see on their lands, and ensuring that they're in Western Oregon a sustainable supply of timber. That's one of the focus items for the ONC lands that the BLM manages here.
So for the Roseburg District, how big is that land size?
It is approximately 408,000 acres. So not huge. I mean, the district that I came from in Utah was 5.5 million acres, so 408,000 doesn't seem big, but still a pretty good land base, and most of it in Douglas County.
But that is still a lot of land to be responsible for. I mean, I have two houses that are city lots, and I can barely keep up.
Right.
that is a lot of land. So what kinds of things do the staff in your office here work on?
We have a variety of different things that we work on. You know, everything, again, from managing the lands for timber production to ensuring that we're doing watershed restoration in areas that require that, to making sure that we're monitoring the fish and wildlife on the lands, to paying the bills, issuing permits. So there are a lot of different things that the BLM does in our community.
So, Shane, talk about things in the district. We were just talking before we went on. Post Archie Creek, I mean, when that came along, that shifted a lot of things for a lot of people. But talk about how it applied to BLM and what you guys had to do right after that and then moving forward.
It did. It had a pretty significant impact. A lot of our developed recreation was heavily impacted in Archie, along with about a little more than 40,000 acres of the lands that we manage up the river corridor were burned at fairly high severity. So huge impact. So following that, we have a couple different processes that kick off. Emergency stabilization to try to stabilize some of those lands and sensitive resources. Burned area rehab. So a lot of work going into that. post-fire, you know, it's been an ongoing work to try to recover and come up with a game plan for how we're going to restore the significantly impacted North Umpqua Trail, the recreation sites up the river corridor. So I want to give a big shout out to the community for the volunteer work that has gone into helping restore some of the initial sections of the North Umpqua Trail at a Swiftwater Park up the river corridor. You know, we've had youth crews out there, and we've had scout groups and multiple volunteer groups spending hundreds of hours out there to help restore that. And it's ongoing. A lot of the, you know, costs with things have increased, so it's going to be a longer process as far as restoring some of the larger bridge infrastructure that was lost. We lost 9 bridges up the corridor for what we manage, and a lot of those will have to be flown in structures. We're going to be following a similar design structure to what the Forest Service is doing on their lands with steel bridges going back in. And so a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of years, but we've been making a lot of really good progress with the community support.
It's interesting to think about flying in bridge structures, but then it also makes a lot of sense because your space to construct them on the site mm-hmm. is probably not optimal.
It's very limited, and access into those locations is difficult. With the North Umpqua Trail being on the other side of the river, there's very limited access there. So that's just kind of the way that it would be most practical that we're going forward with our contracting.
I would think, as you know, a professional at whatever level, somebody's working in a BLM or Forest Service, I mean, this is like a career-changing event. You know, you've got all these plans and, you know, 5-year plans, and we'd like to do this up the road and this up the road, and now it's like you're yep. just back at square one.
Yeah, and it really affected, when I first got into this position about 3.5 years ago now, we were really looking across the district on, you know, the North Umpqua River Corridor was very highly developed, but where are some other areas that there's interest in recreation? Where have we maybe not put as much resources into some sites and, you know, deferred maintenance needs and things like that? So we were looking at that real heavily, and then Archie happened. So that put basically 100% emphasis on trying to figure out a game plan for up the river corridor. And so with that, we've had some good input from the community. We're going to have more. We're going to have some public outreach coming up here soon in regards to an environmental assessment to look at some site enhancements to those sites up the river corridor. Because with this kind of reset, essentially, through that whole corridor, how do we design these sites for the future? You know, how do we set them up so they serve the public well? Because we know the public, you know, the community loves that corridor. They use it even when things were still smoldering out there. They're still out there, recreating and enjoying the public lands. You know, and fire is a natural part of that process that happens. It's awful and devastating when sites change so much from what they were, but there's some really good resources still out there, and we're looking forward to kind of getting them back into a good functional order for the public.
And if you, you know, continue on and work till a normal retirement age, it's not all going to be done.
No, and that's kind of where it's like, okay, try to put your head around what's a feasible game plan and how much can you get done and everything. And it's really good work, though. You know, working for BLM, I've gotten the opportunity to work in a variety of capacities. I started out working with noxious weed management over on the east side over in Lakeview, and did some in fire, worked with planning and public outreach, and then public affairs, and then, you know, now working in recreation to kind of come up with, new game plans and work with the community on these rec sites up here. So it's really enjoyable, fulfilling work. So, and with that, I put a plug in too. We need a lot of people to come into public service. So there's avenues for that. So I encourage anybody interested in that to reach out and to the agency, call the front desk and talk to me directly, because there's opportunities. We have some internship opportunities coming up, and there's hiring opportunities that have just been announced, and So,
a lot going on at BLM. We're going to take a break, cover more. Heather Whitman, the district manager, Shane Rosbach in here as well. They interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Shannon Sebastian as your cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Tomorrow, the head of Roseburg Forest Products, Grady Mulberry, will be in studio. A special announcement from RFP coming tomorrow morning. We'll unpack that and more tomorrow on Inside Douglas County at 1230. Heather Whitman, Shane Rosbach from the Bureau of Land Management here in the Roseburg area. Let's talk just for a tad more about Archie Creek, and I'm curious for each of you what that week was like.
Hectic, how about that? Where, you know, obviously with the fire activities, the BLM was pretty heavily involved with ensuring that we were bringing in the resources that were necessary to fight the fires, making sure that all of our employees, including the volunteers that we had at campgrounds, were safe and had a place to be after being displaced out of the Archie Creek area. And it really was an all hands on deck effort and has been for the last 2 years following the Archie Creek and just making sure recovery was done. But yeah, that first week, pretty intense for sure.
Shane, what do you remember about that week and that day in particular?
So that day in particular, I had just come back from a fire assignment on the Lion's Head and P515 fires. And so just gotten back on district, and that morning, a tree had come down in our Susan Creek campground as part of that wind event that started the fire. And so our recreation staff had gone up there to investigate that and take a look. So that was kind of where our focus was. And we were in the middle of Susan Creek campground when it was, okay, time to get out.
We went
through the evacuation. There was a period of time where I actually had lost contact with some of my staff for a period of time that was... That's probably the most distressing thing that I had happen that day. And then in talking with our field manager, Mike Korn, during that morning, we debated, you know, do we need to go up and evacuate the camp host out of Rock Creek? But because of the strangeness of the wind and just kind of it being so out of the norm of it wasn't within the realm of our thought that it was going to blow over, complete over into Rock Creek drainage there like it did. And thankfully, we did go up and get them out and everything. But on the drive out, at that point, it was like nighttime, you know, driving down Rock Creek, pitch black because of that. It was just laying right down over. And so it was quite a harrowing experience, I have to say. Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things that just, it was in the middle of COVID, so, you know, I'd gone up in my personal vehicle because, you know, I didn't have time to go to the office and dealing with COVID. We were trying to, you know, avoid contact there. And so, you know, it's one of those things where how you think through, always being prepared, you know. Didn't have any of my normal things I would have with me in my vehicle, and so I'm always very careful about that now going forward. It was definitely a good learning experience. And,
wow. Crazy yeah, time.
Crazy.
Let's jump to the present. This time of year, more recreation opportunities are out there. You're opening more things up. Talk about that.
Yeah, so, you know, we've had lots of work going on post-fire. You know, managing hazard trees has been a big workload. Recreation, that's been a primary focus at all these sites because people continue to use the sites, making sure that they're safe for people to be in. So our Susan Creek campground is actually opening tomorrow, opening day. It's about, I think, 75% full right now.
Wow.
So we're going to kick it off with a, you know, fairly full campground. But all of our campgrounds can be reserved through recreation.gov. Prior to COVID, we shifted to that, and we're still maintaining that. That system's worked pretty well for us.
Well, and so many things during that time of COVID with technology were changing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Even without that, you'd probably be doing that.
Correct. Yeah, it really accelerated it. And we're looking at, you know, there's new pieces of technology coming into play, remote kiosks that people can pay at and things like that are being demoed on other districts right now. And we're going to see if we can bring those to maybe some of our sites in the future. But, yeah, right now... tomorrow is Susan Creek Campground opening. You know, that's one of our premier sites. It's got hot showers and all that. It was impacted on the backside by Archie, so we've continued to mitigate hazard trees in there. But it's in good shape for this season, and I hope people go out and enjoy that area through there. That's a little band that wasn't impacted heavily by the fire. So,
and obviously there are a lot of places that aren't open yet.
Correct. Yeah. So all our sites, as far as campgrounds, they're not open up Rock Creek. So the Rock Creek Campground, the Lone Pine Group site, and the Mill Pond Campground, those are all still closed as campgrounds. They are still accessible to the public. There's no formal closure that keeps people out of there. So we often get questions, can we go swimming in the creek and all that? That's totally fine. The pavilions are still there. They made it through the fire, thankfully, with a little bit of singeing, but not too bad. But, those are there for casual use for folks. So those sites are there. And then there's our sites that are outside. We have Cabot Creek, which, you know, has a really great swimming hole at it, and that's going to open May 19th, so a little bit of a month away for that, as well as Scared Man. Our Tai'i campground is open year-round down on the main stem of the Umpqua, so those are great spots. And then our Eagle View group site, which I think for the most part is almost fully booked through this season. But if you look, folks might be able to find a day or two in there. And that's a really popular group campground on the main stem to rent for reunions and, get-togethers, larger events and stuff. So
Heather, how many employees do you have in the district?
So right now we have about 100 employees on staff. As Shane indicated earlier, we're always looking for more. So if folks are interested in jobs with the BLM, they can go to usajobs.gov, and all of the jobs that are available for Roseburg will be listed there. And just recently, the Bureau of Land Management put out multiple vacancy announcements for student employment. And so we're hoping to reach out to all the different schools in the area, the high schools as well as UCC, to make sure that students are aware of those job opportunities as well. Because coming into public service is pretty incredible. Like I say, I've been in it for 35 years. So trying to encourage people to know that there are lots of opportunities is important.
And you've got the Forest Service coming next door.
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The building that the BLM has been in since the mid-1970s is on BLM property, meaning that it's government owned, and the Forest Service has been in a lease building, and so the BLM actually issued them a right-of-way permit to build a building, and so the Umpqua National Forest Supervisor's Office will be located on our campus, and they should be there by the end of this calendar year, and so the public will be able to have one-stop shopping for permits for both the Umpqua National Forest as well as the BLM. So we're hoping that there will be a kind of a grand opening to make sure that the public is aware that this is where you come to get those permits, but it will be nice and a certain cost savings to the government with having all of the agencies there. We already have the Fish and Wildlife Service is located in our building as well, and so it just makes it so it's convenient for people who are looking for government services in public lands. So,
all right, perfect. There's a lot of other things we could cover, but there's the music and we're done. District Manager Heather Whitman, Shane Rosbach, Bureau of Land Management. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.